The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
We are planning our financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox are here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. You can find out more at donfox.net. You can call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. Good morning, gentlemen. Good to see your smiling faces.
Good morning, Scott. Morning, Mitch.
I guess if we look back over the last week, the big news is that the interest rates, the Bank of Canada holding them steady at 5%. A lot of people, you know, thought for sure we might see a drop of at least a quarter of a point or a quarter of a point. And now it looks like that's not going to happen until June or so.
Yeah, a lot of people should have expected a drop. You know, if you look back at what the government was saying earlier, they were trying to get inflation. Basically, the sweet spot that they like to attain was 2%. But, you know, anything under 3 was actually in that realm. On top of that, we had unemployment rise all the way to 6.1% is what the new reading came out, which again, so now you're seeing a situation where the interest rates are hurting the economy. Inflation has dropped. Unemployment has gone up. And this is where you want to have an interest rate cut. So it all makes sense that everybody should have expected an interest rate cut. It did not happen. Now you look south of the border, this exact opposite's happening. And I have a feeling that's really the reason. If they had dropped theirs, then we would have dropped ours. No question, because in our case, it's a need to. We're actually borderline recession right now. And on their case, they're actually doing extremely well. In fact, their inflation rate increased to 3.5% over the week and in the latest reading. So now actually they're saying, we got to maybe hold back a bit. And they really don't have any reason to increase interest rates. So we got our side of the border needing an interest rate drop. Their side doesn't need it at all. It's kind of it'd be nice if it happened. So we're a need to, they're a want to. Or like to maybe, but not necessarily a need. So yeah, it's a bit of a quandary. I guess if they did drop our interest rates, our Canadian dollar would also go down, which would help, you know, people that import to the U.S. It may not help the vacationers that want to go there and spend money in the States, but certainly helps other things. So yeah, it's an interesting spot to be in, and I was a little surprised myself with the data that came out.
Would the sweet spots for the sweet spot for the United States be the same as Canada? They're trying for that 2%.
You know what? It's kind of funny. I actually think it's a bit of a fictitious sweet spot in the first place, because if you look at the 50-year history of inflation, it's averaged around 3.5%. So we're actually right where it's always should be. And, you know, hey, it was nice it was down to 2%, but then we got a little too low and the government was saying, we got to worry about deflation perhaps. And so other things came into play. So 3% wasn't a bad spot to be in, history would say. So, you know what? Good question, Scott. I'm not exactly sure what the US side of things were wanting, but they didn't like the fact inflation was rising again. And so I think it is setting perhaps Canada up for up to 3. It may be, you know, 3 interest rates decreases in between June and December. And I know the experts in our company are thinking maybe the U.S. may only have 1 or 2 this year. So it could be two different situations, one north of the border, one south of the border. So on that note, actually, going back to the show here, I know Mitch, on a totally unrelated subject, would like to talk about registered education savings plans.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I mean, it is sort of related. Inflation affects everything. Interest rates and inflation have been hot topics for a while here. And school is a very important goal. And as many people with kids know, school is very expensive right now. And I mean, going forward in the future, it's only going to continue to get more expensive. So I went and actually looked into some schooling costs, and I took 2 schools, both business programs. I took one that was Western. And their tuition is about $15,500. And then to stay there is roughly $8,900 for the room. Roughly, it depends what you're looking for. And then you're going to spend about $3,200 for food, $2,300 for books, and $2,500 for miscellaneous fees, internet, laundry, all of that that comes with being a student. And that brings the total for 1 year is about $32,400. And for 4 years is roughly $130,000. And with no room, it's going to run you about $95,000 and about $24,000 a year. If I compare that to Mohawk, the only difference is the tuition is actually going to be roughly about $3,700 per year. So it is a big difference. So all else the same, this is going to be about $20,600 per year and $82,000 for 4 years. And if you're staying at home, it's going to be about $47,000 for the 4 years and about $11,800 per year. And now let's take a look. If you're just having one kid and right now, what will the cost be to go to these schools in the future? So if they're 1 year old now, I know a lot of people right now are having kids, and that's actually why I wanted to talk about this, and I hope they're listening. the projected amount for Western for my friend's kids will be about $203,000, which is a huge amount of money. And it's going to be about $50,700 per year.
About approximately what a down payment is right now, really, when you think about it.
pretty much. So you're putting that down payment on school, and then you come out of school, and you're hoping to put a down payment on a house too. So there's a lot of things that inflation affects, and schooling costs is definitely one of them. If you're staying at home, it's still going to be $151,000 roughly, which is $38,000 per year. The projected amount to go to Mohawk is going to be $122,000, which is $30,600 per year. So if you're without a room and board, it's going to be $70,000 for 4 years of school, about $17,500 per year. So school is going to keep getting more expensive constantly.
It's interesting too, Mitch. If you look at the RESP, the grant portion has been left the same right from the very beginning. It's $7,200. So basically, you know, you put in $36,000, the government puts in $7,200. That part has not changed in spite of the fact the increasing costs.
Yeah, that's something that I would have expected over this time period to change. I mean, school keeps going up, and I know the budget just came out with some improvements recently in some other programs that have been around for a long time, like the RSP homebuyers, but I was expecting this one to be changed as well, because I mean, people want to send their kids to school, and $7,200 in grant just doesn't go as far as it used to. But I'm just going to talk about the RESP a little bit here. It is a government sponsored plan, and you get to put money away, and it does cover tuition. The RESP savings can actually be used for a variety of expenses related to your child's education, including housing, textbooks, transportation, and any other costs directly related to their education. A few great benefits to this account. One you mentioned was the CESG, which is the Canadian Education Savings Grant portion, which is the government matching 20% of every cent that you put into the account. So that's a great benefit there. So if you put in $2,500, which is the maximum amount that you can put in to get grant, would be about $208 a month. And this is over, if you start this as when the kid's born and they contribute for the 14 and a half years, $208 a month, you're actually going to contribute $36,000 and maximize the total grant, which is $7,200, as you mentioned before. The only way to really maximize the amount you get from the RESP is to start as young as possible. Compound interest is your best friend. I know we talk about this all the time. Don't delay putting money away. $208 a month is going to get you the maximum grant, and you can start this as soon as the child gets a social insurance number. Another benefit to the RESP is that it's going to grow tax-free. So unlike the RRSP, the Registered Retirement Savings Plan, the RESP, the Education Savings Plan, is all after-tax money. So what that means is that the RESP contributions have already been taken off. The tax have already been taken off. So you're not going to get a deduction for contributing to this, but it is going to grow tax-free within the account. All the funds within the RESP, it's all principal Then there's grant, and then there's all growth in there as well. So there's three components to the RESP, and it will get taxed eventually, but it will, when you take it out, depending upon which portion you take out, it is how it's going to get taxed. So as I mentioned before, there's three components to the RESP. There's the growth, there's the grant, and there's the principal. And something that lots of people don't know about this is that you can actually designate which portion you're going to take out. So you can actually take out the principal in a year, maybe that your child has a higher income, maybe something happened and the child has a larger income that year, and you don't want to cause any tax by taking out the grant or the growth portion. So maybe you take from the principal that year. In other circumstances, one strategy that we like to recommend is that you actually get the grant portion out as much as possible in the first semester. So during the first semester, if you're a student, if your child's a full-time student, they can take $5,000 of the grant portion. And if they're part-time, they can take $2,500. And the reason why we recommend taking grant in the first semester is because if they only go for one semester and then they say, you know, I really don't like school, it's not for me, and they stop, the grant portion that's remaining in the program has to go back to the government, versus the growth and the principal does not. So we recommend doing this, because if they take out the grant first, so they take out the 5,000, and then the second semester they take the rest out, the 2,200 of grant, all the grant's gone, and then they don't have to give any back to the government, even if the kid drops out of school. So that's a reason why we suggest this. And it, countless times I've come across RESPs from people that are talking to me, and they're taking them out proportionally. They're just doing one third from each portion. And that's not necessarily the best route to go. It does depend on the circumstance, but taking out that grant first really eliminates the risk of having to give that money back to the government. So just as one quick example here, we'll call them Family A. They contributed $36,000, starting with $2,500 a year until their child was 15 years old. And they put it so they got a maximum of $7,200 in grant from the government and grew at a rate of 4.75 per year. This got their RESP to $74,300 by the child's 18th birthday. Of this, $36,000 is tax-free, and this portion you can withdraw whenever you like, and it's going to be tax-free. The $31,122 is income and growth, and this is going to be fully taxable to the kid when it is withdrawn. So this is something that you're probably going to look to withdraw first, as well as the grant. It's likely that the kid's not going to have much income, at least in the first 2 years of school. So combining those two and adding to their income is probably going to reduce any taxable gains if they're taking an internship or a job the last 2 years of school. And the last portion, as I mentioned before, is the $7,200 in grant. And this is what we suggest is taking it out first, because it eliminates that risk of having to give it back to the government. So three components to this plan. Make sure that you're talking to your financial planner about how you should be withdrawing this.
We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox are here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. You can find out more at donfox.net. You can call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. We're going to take a quick break here. We're coming back.
You are listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900CHML.
We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox are here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. You can find out more at donfox.net. You can call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. You're going to talk about your CRA account, or ours, or mine.
Or everybody's for that much. You know what? It's kind of interesting. People seem to have really adopted the whole idea of banking online, whether it's using a banking app, whether it's online. And again, the banks have done a great job promoting it and making sure that they do this. And there's some self-interest for the banks, because now they have to hire less people to do a lot of these transactions that we are now doing. Can you imagine now, Scott, that sitting there bill paying time and writing out checks and then putting them in envelopes and sending them off to the, you know, the appropriate creditors that you owe money to.
Well, even I remember the day when my dad used to walk into a bank, go up to the counter and grab the pen on a chain and fill out a form and then go to the teller. It was a whole different experience.
Exactly. Things have changed a ton. Now, they do accept some of these ones if you want, are just not in touch with any technology, or they simply want to get out of the house and talk to a teller. So they do have those, but those are few and far between. The most people, it is just, okay, bill paying time, and it takes maybe 5 to 10 minutes of our life now to go and pay them, and there's no Canada Post or anything like that. So the reason I'm talking about this is now CRA, they have a CRA account. You can go online and check your My CRA, it's called. And they've had this for quite some time. Now, there's far fewer people that have signed up online than they have for the banking side of things. And yet, I don't know which is more important. It's got to be a close call, which one is. They're both important. You know, and the My CRA account is absolutely really, you know, when you get digging down, it's quite good. Now, I have to say, they did not make it very easy before. You used to have to sign up. They would mail you a code. And then you would eventually get this code, take that code, sign up online with this code that was snail mailed, not emailed, mailed to you. You had a deadline to use that code or it expired. And it was like a few days after receiving it. I can't remember exactly because this is the way it was always done. Now, if you happen to go on vacation and got this code and you didn't receive it, then you had to do it again. And me personally, that's what happened. I got my code. I wasn't there to receive it because it's in my mailbox at my house. I then got back, said, oh, missed it, and had to restart from the beginning. They've changed it now. They've made it far easier. And yes, you don't have to deal with that anymore. In fact, you can do this with simply a passport. You need your driver's license, I believe. And you can do it as somebody who's only 16 years old. And they made it just far easier. And so this is great. This should have been done. In fact, yes, anybody 16 years old can now set up a My Account immediately using ID such as driver's license or a passport, not both. You'll need a camera-enabled mobile device and access to information from your current tax return or your previous one. So again, if you're a 16-year-old wanting to set this up, you would have had to have filed an income tax return, okay? And there is a lot that do this, and in fact, I'll be talking about that later. This is important for people to have their taxes done, even if they don't owe tax. Okay, so this is a great process. And what kind of information can you get on this site? Well, pretty much anything, actually. If you wanted to check out your 2023 tax return and confirmed if it's going to be a refund or a balance owning, whether it's where it is in the process, have they received it? That's one thing. Whether they're mailing you a check, whether it's being direct deposit, whether it's, you know, you can check out all that. The other one I found really fascinating, you can actually change your tax return. So let's say you forgot a slip. You go back and say, I want to go change a slip. Well, no problem. I forgot, for example, advisory fees, or I forgot my charitable donations for the year, or I forgot some more medical slips. Sometimes things that come in after you file, you get a little zealous and you want to get that tax refund, and then your slips happen after the fact. Now, to the most part, if they are normal government T3 slips, T4 slips, the government will already have those. So they have all those anyway. In fact, they could pretty much do your tax return for you. They literally have all the information from the T4, T5, T3 slips, but they don't have other slips such as donations, medical, advisory fees. So they will make adjustments to your tax return with the information they already have. But if you do want to make a change, there's a change button. You go to the year and hit the change button. You will have to have already got your notice of assessment, though. You can't make a change until you got your notice of assessment. So if you already filed it in, say, February, you got a little early, and you got some more slips after the fact, you have to wait for your notice of assessment, and then you can make those changes. So there are some places where you cannot change your tax return. Again, first one is your tax return has to be assessed. I found this one kind of interesting. A tax return where nine reassessments exist for a particular year. So if you're a chronic changer and you kept adding it and they reassessed it, adding it and reassessed, after nine, they will not allow you to do it online anymore.
Is that for those that are obsessed with filing their tax return?
Yeah, I'm not yet quite sure why they actually picked nine reassessments. Why wasn't it five or whatever else?
Exactly.
Nine reassessments is the number. You cannot change a bankruptcy return online. You have to redo it, by paper. You are a return prior to the year bankruptcy. Not only can you do the return, the bankruptcy tax return, you can't do the one beforehand. Certain returns for international or non-residents clients cannot be done. So, okay, Canadian citizens, no issues. But if you're just a non-resident or an international, you cannot do it. A return where you have income from a business with a permanent establishment outside your province or territory, you also can't do it that way. So there's a lot of areas. Most of the areas, you can actually just make a change on the fly. Quite good. Now, things that is quite handy, they often ask, okay, what can I contribute to my RSP? Well, that's set up there. There's these tabs set up, which are really simple. So no problem there. And you can actually go through every single notice of assessment going back many years to find out, what your RSP room was in a specific year, or make a change. So nice thing is I find for those that are receiving the paper notice of assessments, which I would say the large majority are, if you misplace those, it's so nice to just go online and make the change. Pretty simple. Now, you can also set up or change the financial institution where your tax refund is direct deposited. Now, this is a great service. So now you're basically saying, okay, the banks are now working with the government so that they don't, and again, it saves the government a lot of money. So it's in their self-interest too. They don't have to use their own Canada Post to pay them to send send the tax refund. But it is nice, and it's quite quick rather than waiting for the actual check version. So things such as your Canadian carbon tax rebate, your GST tax rebate, child benefit payments coming, and how much will they be? These are all online. How do you apply for the Canada dental benefit? That's also online. So quite handy to have all these. And for those that are using paper, like as I mentioned, sometimes your question, did I receive all my T-slips? Every single T-slip you can find online. I checked mine out last week and just to say, okay, did I get all my T-slips? And all of them were right there. Every financial institution, the company you work for, the T4s, they're all there. So end of the day, it's extremely handy. And for those that will download an app without thinking twice about it, they should really take the time and set up your CRA online account, because really, well, we have actually seen firsthand that the government has all the information. So if you have your CRA account, you can actually get software and some services, you can get some financial institutions will do it for you. The whole tax return can get done. So you can download the software and download all the slips directly from your CRA account directly into your tax return. And so we've seen people that don't even know how to do a tax return. It's the first time they've ever done one. And they simply went online, hit the download button. It pre-populated the whole tax return. So talk about easy. And so you end up getting all this done for you. And then you add, if there's a donation slip, you can add that separately. If there's certain other things, say a rental property, you then have to fill in that one separately, but that can all be done online. So the majority of the work are the slips that they send you. This is all done, and it takes literally seconds. It's absolutely astonishing how quick it is to do it.
Can you see the day when more people are doing this as opposed to letting somebody else do it? Or because we know there's the tax programs and whatever, but a lot of people just either don't have the time, you know, want to let a professional do it, what have you. With AI and everything, could you see where you just put in a number and out it all comes?
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. This, you know, it's a great question. In fact, there was some talk in the U.S. that, and they're in the same boat as us, and that all these slips are recorded to the government. So they have all this information about you. And so they were suggesting, why don't we make it easier for all the citizens that here's our version of the tax return. Let us know if there's any problems with it. Because the government could literally do it using AI in seconds and say, okay, what changes would you like to make it? Let the government go to the citizens and let you make the changes to the tax return rather than the other way around. And anyway, this went through Parliament and it got ex-nayed because there was one company that really didn't like it too much, and that would be the tax preparing companies.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Because they have a lot of self-interest in this.
That's where going, yeah.
Yeah, so they don't like it. But for, you know, H&R Blocks out there and so forth, they probably, you know, it's easy for them. You know, it really is easy, and it's gotten a lot easier. It used to be, you think back when it was pencil to paper, you would never use a pen because you have to start all over. Lots of erasers, redoing the whole thing. And yet this is done in seconds now. So, you know, nobody likes to pay taxes. We're going to do it anyway. But why not just rip the Band-Aid off quickly? Why rip it off slowly? Because it's going to hurt either way. But let's just get the pain over with. And that's what tax preparation is all about, just getting it done. So it's complicated the best of times, but there's so much information. Again, even getting your Canada pension plan, you can dig through there and find out, you know, what your Canada pension plan will be. Now it is difficult to find. I know we talked about it on previous shows, but a lot of people, when we're talking about to clients about their planning situation, it seems like a mystery. How much can a pension plan will they receive? And it's all in there. So you have to just kind of work your way through the program, and they'll see just how many years they maximize their CPP. And from that, they can say, okay, maybe I should think of retiring using it at 65 or waiting till 70. And we've talked about this on previous shows. But the whole point, I was just talking with a client just 2 weeks ago. And I said, you know what, your wife, although she hasn't worked, you know, too much prior, after you got married, she did work somewhere. So she should get some kind of pension plan. He had never thought of it. He went back, went through his wife's CRA account, found it. And yeah, she's getting about $100 a month. It was like found money. Now, we didn't know the number, so we used zero to be on the, but now he could input the extra money. Yeah, Mitch?
Have you gone through the TFSA portion on the CRA account?
Well, that's where the poor part is. And I'm glad you brought that up. If there's one criticism of my CRA, the TFSA contribution room is often outdated. It's useless. Mine personally, I topped up my TFSA in January. I checked it out this past week. And yes, it was wrong. It still showed I hadn't done my $7,000 TFSA contribution, even though it was done 3 months ago. And in fact, when I did it, when I was looking at it, it showed me I had $14,000 a room back in January. And so I hadn't even included the previous year. So it was off by a full $7,000. So yeah, if there's one criticism of the CRA site, it's the TFSA. So I would never, and we have clients, I know, that will call us and ask us, okay, what about the, you know, CRA? I says, I can do this. And I said, no, you can't, because we keep track of all our clients' TFSA room. And it's a bit of a job, to the coming and goings of your money. Because of course, if you pull money out of your TFSA, let's say you took $50,000 out today, out of your TFSA, you can replace it January 1st of next year, plus the $7,000 of normal contribution. So it's difficult to keep track. This is why you either look after this on your own spreadsheet or deal with a financial advisor that will help you look after this information for you. TFSAs, if I had one recommendation, I would always suggest they should be all in one place. don't have a TFSA in three or four different institutions. All you're doing is asking for to be extremely complicated, hard to keep track of, and they are one of the best investments, if not the best investment a Canadian can make. Depending on the tax situation, but you know, nothing's better than earning income tax-free. And we don't have a whole lot of things in Canada that can do that. We got your principal resident, we have TFSAs, and we have life insurance. And those are the three big ones. So, you know, I'd love to, it's nice to check off those three boxes of tax-free money. Bottom line though, just to getting back, go check out, MyCRA. And if you have kids, get them to look at checking, getting theirs done. And you can't start this. I guess you can't start too early, but 16 is the earliest you can start it.
We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox are here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. You can find out more at donfox.net. You can call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. We're going to take a quick break here. We're coming right back.
You are listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox are here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. You can find out more at donfox.net. You can call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. We're talking about phishing attacks, cyber.
Yeah, not the kind in the lakes, ocean, or rivers. No. We're going to go cyber phishing attacks here. So not only is financial planning about saving, putting away money, tax planning, we also are going to help you with cyber attacks. Basically, we want you to keep all the money that we help you grow. And something that's growing constantly is cyber attacks. In 2023, the financial implications of these attacks were massive. So the Canadian Cyber Incident Response Center estimated that the total cost of cybercrime in Canada for 2023 was about $3 billion. So that was the infrastructure and everything that it costs to help protect cyber attacks. And it was reported that over 70,000 incidents happened in 2023. And that's an increase of over 25% from 2022. So they're constantly growing all the time. And there are so many different ways that it's happening. The 2023 was about $540 million in money stolen from Canadians by attacks. That is a lot of money. And yeah. With AI now, it's becoming almost impossible to recognize a cyber attack. People are saying that they're holding people ransom. Their daughter, and they're impersonating their daughter's voice by using AI. So it's a very scary thing out there. And right now with tax time, I know you were just talking about my CRA account, but I know I get CRA texts and voicemails saying that something's wrong with my CRA account. And they're not real, first of all. But there's so many other ways too. I mean, online shopping, everyone's doing online shopping. Not many people buy things from the store as much as they used to with Amazon and everything else.
Yeah, I had one client not long ago just said the RCMP would be coming to their house if you don't call this number. Yeah. And she let me, it happened to be on a voicemail on her phone, so she let me listen to her. She was scared. She's an older lady, and she was ready to call them. And I said, absolutely don't give them a call. There's no way they're doing this, so don't worry. But yeah, threatening that they're going to come to her house.
And, you know, as Mitch is saying, you're getting it on your phone almost on a daily basis. I know I certainly am as well. And it's got to the point now where when I see these things, whether they're real or not, I don't even question them. I just get rid of them because if somebody wants you bad enough, they'll find you.
Good point.
Yeah. You'll get a legitimate document from the CRA in the mail, or you're not going to get a text to your cell phone necessarily. And I know I get ones from institutions and banks and places that I've never even talked to in my life. And they say that my bank account's frozen or credit cards being charged fraud, all of that. And with online shopping, it's even more difficult because you're buying from all these different stores, and you might actually get some notifications from a store that you did buy from. And I know one person tried actually taking me through my computer To try to walk me through my computer and basically try to get me to buy them a gift card. And I humored them for a bit just to see where they were trying to take me. And then basically I hung up. I just wanted to kind of understand it a little further, but they were trying to get me to buy a gift card and send the codes to them, more or less. So that would actually be a pretty minor one, but actually I know I don't know if you there's a movie called The Beekeepers, which was about cyber attacks. It's an action movie, but the beginning of it was from cyber attacks, and it really hit home a little bit in the because people do lose a lot of money. $540 million Canadians lost last year from fraud.
Wow.
That's a ton
Half a
of money.
billion.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you recognize phishing? Texts and emails they may look like they're from the bank and credit card company or payment site, but they do have some distinguished differences in them. I will say the bank and government, they're not texting you for your personal information. That's an immediate red flag. So definitely do not reply to those and don't give your social insurance number or any personal information over a phone call. Phishing emails will often tell a story and try to trick you into clicking to follow instructions. They may say that they've noticed suspicious activity or login attempts. They claim there's a problem with your account or payment method. They may try to get you to confirm some personal information, like they might now have half of your credit card, and they ask for the last four digits or vice versa, and for you to confirm something, and that's just a green light for them to get that last few digits that they need, and the next thing you know, they're maxing out your credit card. So there's so many ways for them to do this, and these emails, they look extremely real. An example from a scammer using Netflix. The email looked great. They wanted to update the account, but right off the bat, the email says your account is on hold, and they address the email with "Hi, dear." It's not very often that Netflix is going to address you with "Hi, dear" instead of your name. I don't think that sounds right to me,
Chances
but
are there might be a bit of a language barrier as well, meaning it's from
it's.
offshore.
Yeah,
Yeah,
for sure.
it's quite possible that they're from a different country, pretty much a certainty. But how to protect yourself if you get this email or text? Please ask yourself if it's even an account or company you've ever even talked to, or if you even have an Apple computer. Maybe you have Microsoft and they say you have an Apple and you need fixing. It's a clear red flag, and make sure that you're just basically hanging up on them and maybe blocking the phone number or email or text. That's the best way to protect yourself and never give out any personal information, especially to anyone that claims they're the CRA. If they want to get this information and it's actually the CRA, they're going to come from a more official route, and it could be through my CRA. They might be going through that. Like, they have all your information there. So make sure they're just not giving out personal information, and don't be a victim to all these cyber crimes.
We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox are here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. You can find out more at donfox.net. You can call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. A quick break here, and we're back for our last segment.
You are listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900CHML.
We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox are here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. Find out more at donfox.net. Call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. Tax tips for first timers.
Yes, you know what? You have to be a first timer eventually when it comes to the CRA. Mm-hmm. And it's usually when you make some money. And it's kind of interesting. Very often, a young person working will say, well, I didn't make enough. Or the parents are actually saying, well, they didn't make enough to even worry about it, so we're not going to file. And so it is actually a legal requirement, but it's usually actually in your best interest to file an income tax return. So, you know, things that right away, if you did owe money, there's a 5% penalty on the amount owing, plus a 1% penalty for every month up to up to 12 months. And so that'll just keep going on. It'll just keep the 1% penalty continues. Filing taxes makes you eligible for the GST credit and also, you know, a lot of other types of things, such as getting you RSP room. And even just getting that tax refund. So again, there's incentive. Now the RSP room is kind of interesting. Just because you're 16, you got a job, you made 10 grand. Well, not a big deal, but you just created $1,800 of RSP room. You likely would have paid no income tax on 10,000 because you're allowed to make that much tax free. And you've also added to the, quite often you've added to the Canada Pension Plan. Now there's a certain amount where you make too little and they don't add to that. But at the end of the day, it's nice to be able to be on their radar. As much as we don't like being on the government's radar when it comes to this, it actually helps. So you got to understand the tax jargon. There's so many different wording and so forth. This is where, dealing with your parents and asking the difference from a deduction versus a credit. Understanding no carry forwards, because if you couldn't use them. And just tax terms in general, very simple things. But it is nice to know a little bit about taxes. And it's kind of interesting. I've talked to some people and said, where do you learn this stuff? Well, it's interesting. It's in the paper all the time. You just have to go to the right sections. Just go to the business section every so often and you can actually pick up just some of the basic understandings, or certainly listen to our show. We're going to teach you too. But basically a credit comes off it's at the lowest tax rate. So if you're getting a $100 credit, it's different than a $100 deduction. A deduction comes off your overall taxes on your total income. And a credit is simply a credit based on basically 20%, where a tax deduction, if you're in a 50% tax bracket, you actually save 50% on a deduction. So an RSP is a tax deduction, okay? Versus a donation is a credit, or a medical receipt is a credit. So anyway, it's good to know these little nuances of tax. Now, maximizing your tax filing experience with a CRA account. I know I already spoke about the importance of a CRA account. I can't get into it strong enough, though. It is so important to do this. It will make your life actually easier. In fact, one thing I missed was the CRA account is fantastic if you are the representative for an older parent. So, in fact, in going with what Mitch was talking about, phishing, if everything was done online, you could make sure your parents did not receive any of the tax slips. So one of the areas where, the cyber issues happen is when they steal mail. And if they know somebody's older, they can start taking some of that mail, get the social insurance numbers, getting the data. Well, if they don't get that stuff in the first place, this is actually safer. And using that CRA account, for example, a disability deduction, if you've applied, you can see if you've actually got it. So the CRA account isn't just for yourself. It'd be great as being a representative for older parents that you're helping out, but it's also great for that first time, start off in the right foot and get that CRA account. Now, you can normally do these taxes without any professional help. As I mentioned, it's gotten a lot easier and there's software that can make it quite easy. It's particularly for a young individual where they've only got maybe one tax slip. Maybe they've actually saved a little money somewhere and they got some interest income or some investment income. But on the other hand, don't be embarrassed to talk to a tax consultant. So if it is inducing a lot of stress and you're really worried about it, talk to, TurboTax, and some of these actually will have online help for, starting at say $40. And you can always go to an H&R Block for that first one and ask some questions and get that first tax return done by a professional. And therefore you can have kind of a template going forward for the next one. So know the key dates. You do have to file for April 30th for personal income tax forms. Self-employed individuals have until June 17th to file their taxes. However, they do have to pay ahead of time if they owe tax. Missing the deadline is a 5% penalty, as I mentioned, and you do not want to pay the 1% interest per month. So the sooner you file, the sooner you get money back. And that would be the majority of young Canadians. If they've paid any tax or you're getting some of these tax credits, they're going to get it back. And learn the art of bookkeeping. It is great to have just a bit of a spreadsheet. It shows, of all the T-slips, what you earned, and so forth. If you got rental income, it's good to have a bit of an understanding of me, almost accounting in a way. So for those first time home buyers, yeah, that would be great. The first time tax filers, get online, get it done, talk to your parents, grandparents, what have you, and start your CRA account and start to have an identity, and it'll really help you out in the future.
We have been planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox have been here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. You can find out more at donfox.net. You can call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. Another fabulous show, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Same time next week.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.